Good morning to you. Are you well? 14th of January 2020, Tuesday morning, and it's a bit calmer out there than it was overnight in Salford, here in the great city of Manchester. It's not as bad. I've been out and about this morning. The rain has stopped and the wind has died down. Although my compatriots in Ireland got the worst of it. Storm Brendan there. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Chat away amongst yourselves there on the chat. Nice to see so many people in so early there. Hi to Matt in Western Massachusetts. Happy New Year, Matt, by the way. Nice to hear from you, pal. To John Sheridan, to John Rorty. How you doing, John? New York. I've not seen any pictures on Twitter lately, John, of that house that you've been doing up. That lovely house. We've seen some nice exterior shots there. Hi to Ellie Larkin as well, to Wayne Watson, to Beats Crates was in Wales. How you doing, pal? And to everybody else there. Nice to be with you this morning. Yeah. Right. Heads up on today's Richie Allen radio show. Gilad Asmon will wing in for a bit to talk about the Board of Deputies of British Jews and the 10 pledges that they've successfully managed to get. Well, they've managed to get the later. Yeah. And I've not had a drink for 2 weeks. The Labour leadership hopefuls have signed up to the Board of Deputies of Jews 10 pledges, which is an outrageous thing. We'll talk with Gilad Atzmon about that a bit later on. Gilad was born and bred in Israel, served in the IDF, and has written a number of books about Jewish identity and identity politics. He is despised by Zionists. They hate the man. And they shouldn't, because he's one of the most amenable, genial characters you'll ever meet. He's a good guy, Gilad. And I'll be joined by Mark Steele in hour two of the programme, because there is a lot of 5G news here in the UK. So, busy old Tuesday radio show, which will be at 5 later on. I've got to stop banging my big feckin' chin into the microphone. It is the BBG, not the BBC. This is the worst live stream in YouTube history. And I wear that with a badge of honour. I'm proud of that title. I won't be convinced otherwise. Let's go straight to the newspapers then. Hi to Patricia. Good morning, Hayden Hewitt of Trigger Warning fame. Top man. Check out triggerwarning.tv. It's Tuesday. So while the lads are on YouTube regularly with very interesting videos about the biggest stories of the day, they got a couple of big shows during the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. For all the info, triggerwarning.tv. And by the way, my website, richieallen.co.uk, has been given a revamp by Hayden Hewitt. Now, some of you won't know, or many of you won't know, that his day job is designing websites. Now, he is shit hot when it comes to designing websites. The previous incarnation of richieallen.co.uk was fabulous and was very user-friendly. The forthcoming version is fabulous, even more so, and very user-friendly. He's a bit of a genius. And I know that his rates for designing websites are far, far more favourable than the rates you would get from, well, pretty much any other company that makes its business designing websites. What I'm saying in short is, do find Hayden Hewitt, please. If you need a website designed, go and see him, because he'll do a stellar job for you. Okay, he'll consult you at every step of the process, and you won't collapse and faint and have to be given oxygen when he tells you what the cost is. He undercuts the big boys. Top man. I'll mention this a few times in the coming days and weeks, because, as I said, he is very good. And I know a lot of you are looking at websites for your businesses and for your foray into the independent media. Do check out Hayden, right? That's not a free ad, by the way. I'm telling you because I've used the man's services. And if his services were shit, I wouldn't be saying it. Okay, right. Let's have a look at the newspapers. The Metro. You can go your own way. You can go your own way. Yeah, there was a summit at Sandringham yesterday. That's the ultimate caption competition photograph, that, isn't it? Who's saying what? Who's hearing what? What's being said? And the Queen put a statement out, issued a statement late yesterday afternoon, saying, fair enough, we accept that they want to go a different way and still remain part of the family. We agree, and we want it all sewn up in the next few days. There you are. Nothing to see here. But, sadly, you can't escape it if you're in your place of work and somebody's got the radio on. Orf you go, says the Sun, or the Scum, as it is known in Merseyside, understandably. Harry and Meghan have got their way. Her Madge is sad at their move to Canada. But one is not amused. It's the Sun. We'll rip through these very quickly. The Queen's reluctant farewell. Daily Telegraph. Same picture. I pilfered that picture and used it yesterday, didn't I? For this live stream. It's a good picture, that. The Express. Gracious Queen grants Harry his wish. The Queen can do no wrong in the eyes of the UK media. The last time the Queen ever received any criticism was over her deafening silence in the wake of the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, although she wasn't Princess of Wales then. Yes. The Daily Mail. Go if you must. Historic personal statement from the Queen with her hearing aid. 93. Acupuncture. Ancient Chinese herbal remedies. These fuckers don't go to doctors. Queen gives Meghan and Harry transition period. Jesus, just when you thought you'd heard enough about transition periods, they've got a transition period. How does that work? All right then, go off, fuck off around the world for a year, do what you want. Transition period. And then we'll have a look at it again. The iPaper today, if I can bring it up there. Worst fucking live stream ever. Queen's seal of approval for reshaped royal family. Reshaped. Is that a play on shapeshifters? Bet you it is. I bet you it is. They always tell you, the papers. They always tell you the truth if you know how to read between the lines. Reshaped. The iPaper. We just did that, didn't we? What the fuck is going on? No, The Guardian. Record heat in world's oceans is dire warning on climate crisis. Record heat in the oceans. But they've only been measuring ocean temperature for about 60 years, if my memory serves me correctly. Yes. They once grew grapes in Yorkshire. Did you know that? Yes. Yes. The Thames used to freeze over. Did you know that? Yes. It's just the blinking weather. Record heat in world's oceans. We'll come back to it. Well, we won't come back to it, will we? There's a story in the Times. We might do it. US warns on security ties if UK does Huawei deal. We'll briefly touch on that in a few minutes. Financial Times. Can't read that. Contracting economy adds to pressure for rate cut. The pressure to cut business rates, of course. Don't hold your fucking breath. There is an agenda. There always has been. Well, not always, but it's an agenda. Anyway, to destroy the high street. Businesses on the high street pay exorbitant business rates. They are astronomical. We know this. I know it personally because back in 2010, I came very close, as I have told you in the past, to taking a pub in the beautiful city of Nottingham. The business rates were fucking obscene. Thousands of pounds a month just to do business before you get started. I remember at TPV television in London as well, the business rates were astronomical. That's the Times, the Financial Times even. Let's get rid of that and move on. Let's move on. The Star. Man poo. Man poo. Christ, there's a million jokes here. But as a Manchester United supporter lifelong, I won't be indulging in any jokes. But there's a story doing the rounds this morning that Marcus Rashford, a little bit of joy in a season of gloom for Manchester United, Manchester born and bred, scoring lots of goals, apparently in his bid to conquer the personalised products market, he's going to put his name on toilet roll. Again, the jokes are too easy for those who are taking great delight in Manchester United's struggles. That's in the Star. Imagine that being a front page story in the Star. Who the fuck is editing the Star at the moment? With everything that's going on. The royal family. Iran. Fucking the alleged imminent departure from the European Union on January 31st. I know. We'll stick a story about a footballer and toilet paper on the front page. It's in the Star. Now, my pal Cocabelle there, not heard from her in a while. How you doing, pal? Harry fell out with William for treating his wife the way their father treated their mother. William has his own Camilla lurking in the background, says Cocabelle. You might be right. Yes, everyone in the world knows this except this British, because the press is not allowed to say anything about creepy weirdo William. Creepy weirdo. Yeah. Fair enough. Lovely. Keep those messages and comments going in there. And chat amongst yourselves. Anne Hughes is in a snowy Inverness. Is it climate change, Anne? Is that why it's snowing in Inverness? Or is it just because... Is it just because it's winter? That could be it too. Right. Here's a couple of stories. And I know my aforementioned pal, Hayden Jewett, that's a play on Gaydon Jewett. If you follow TriggerWarning.tv, you'll know all about Gaydon Jewett. My friend Hayden Hewitt, I mentioned him. This is the sort of story that boils Hayden's piss. Because it's very serious. Because this isn't an exception. This is actually the microcosm of the macrocosm. Look at this. Feast your eyes on the lunacy that is UK academia. Are you ready? Oh yeah. I tell you what, I'm really enjoying this no alcohol thing. Yeah. More energy. I need the energy, by the way. I need the energy. Because we've got a young pup in ass. We got a young pup. 10-week-old pup that's just a fucking terrorist. Now, this is no surprise to me. Don't be sending me messages going, oh, you didn't know. Of course I know. I've had dogs all my life. In my house, in my life. And, you know, from the beginning. From the pup stage. So of course I know what to expect. They are terrorists. For the first few weeks and months. Literally terror. It's what it feels to be a victim of terrorism. They are lunatics. Jumping on curtains. Ripping sofas. Well, not quite ripping sofas to pieces, but trying to. Jumping all over you. Scratching you with their razor sharp claws. Biting you. Causing absolute fucking carnage. You pray for them to fall asleep. I suppose it gives you a kind of an insight into what it might be like to have a child. Well, not quite, but you know, it gives you kind of a little glimpse. So it's carnage. There is a picture. I might throw a picture up there in a minute. Now, I said there was a story that would boil the piss of the Trigger Warning crew. BBC. Sheffield students are paid to tackle racist language on campus. A university will hire 20 of its own students to challenge language on campus, which could be seen as racist. Not language which is racist, but language which might be interpreted by a third party as being racist. This is how fucking crazy things have gone. I wouldn't mind if the student body... I would mind, but I could understand it if they said, let's find racist language and let's tackle it. But no! We're going to pay 20 students £9, is it 34 pence an hour? Is it? To go and look for language which might be construed, might be, as racism. Eh? Between 2 and 9 hours a week to tackle microaggressions in the university. This is from the Vice Chancellor Coon Lamberts. There's racism for you now. They will be trained to lead healthy conversations about preventing racism on campus and in student accommodation. Yes, my God, how the landscape of university life has changed since I was in uni. Mother of divine Jesus Christ! Look at this! What could it be? What could it be? Comments or actions which might be unintentional, so context doesn't matter anymore! It doesn't matter what you were saying! I might be on Sheffield University campus talking to one of my friends. And I might be saying something about racism. I might be saying, well, it's only a few years ago that men and women would be on television and would use terminology like the nigger in the woodpile. That's not that long ago that people would say something like that and nobody would bat an eyelid. I'm talking about racism in a historic context. But one of these fuckers, for £9.34 an hour, could challenge me on my racist language and how it might be interpreted by a third party. And they give us examples of what microaggressions are. In other words, people saying, stop making everything a race issue. That could be a microaggression. You might need to be told not to say such a thing. Why are you searching things to be offended about? Sadly, we live in a world where people are, seemingly, not all people, but many people, constantly trolling their surroundings for something to be offended about, for which they can then go online to give voice to that offence. So it's a fair thing to say, stop fucking looking for things to be offended by, you big girl's blouse, you big Jesse. But you can't say that. Where are you really from? That's a grey area. Right? I don't want to hear about your holiday to South Africa. It's nowhere near where I'm from. Being compared to black celebrities that I look nothing like. I don't understand any of that. The university says rather than being about controlling people's speech, it's about opening up a conversation. No, it's not. It's about shutting down conversations. It is about introducing the most insidious form of censorship ever known, self-censorship. I said this before. You laughed a couple of years ago. You said, that was funny, Richie. Where did you get that from? And I said, I didn't get it from anywhere. It's something that occurred to me. I said to you years ago, conversations in the near future that would ordinarily take a couple of minutes will take fucking hours. You will have people pausing for minutes before replying to a friend, a colleague, or just a correspondent. And they will be thinking, can I say that now? How might what I want to say be interpreted, not necessarily by the person I'm speaking with, but by somebody else who might happen upon the conversation? So I better think about what I can say, not what I want to say. Fuck every one of them. Imagine going to university in 2020. My God. Madness. Fucking madness. 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 They call it madness. Because it is madness. Oh. Charles loves a paedophile, doesn't he? We talked about this quite a bit in the last few years, this relationship with Peter Bowell. It's very important to bring this up. It's not that... Oh, Jeanne Crowley is in. How you doing, Jeanne? Makes a very salient point on Colleen. Very good, Jeanne. I should have said this myself. She says, from an academic, from a student point of view, how will what I say affect my social credit? Yes. By the way, social crediting. Again, it sounds like a Hayden Hewitt love-in this morning. It isn't. I hate that fucker, really. No, I don't. Hayden is quite, has brilliantly, I think, brilliantly, and he's the only one that said it, spoken about in the last couple of years how the it'll be corporations that will usher in the social crediting. Yeah. There was a guy on the lawn at Sandringham yesterday with a megaphone, terrorising the Sky News presenters. If you heard the monologue on the Richie Allen radio show last night, you would have giggled because you would have heard Colin Brazier from Sky trying to interview somebody while there was a guy in the background going, "Run them fucking paedophiles!" Right? I would never dare to accuse His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales of paedophilia because it would be gutter journalism. There's no evidence that he's ever abused anybody. At all. But he likes a child abuser, doesn't he? And he maintained his relationship with this guy, Peter Bowell, long after he knew the guy was a paedophile. Of course, that mirrors the behaviour of his brother, who kept in contact with Jeffrey Epstein after learning that Jeffrey Epstein was a filthy paedophile. This is really going to sound like a love-in, by the way, but I got to mention TriggerWarning.tv again. They're doing a series of programs about social media, Twitter, and the presence of paedophiles there. A forum on Twitter for paedophiles. I won't make a complete bollocks or a complete leerody by trying to describe what the boys have been talking about, but it's very interesting. Check that out as well. So yeah, this is in the Telegraph today. He likes a paedophile. Jimmy Savile's best friend. Most of us would be disturbed or perturbed to learn that a friend of ours was a child abuser. Most of us, for most of us, the relationship ends there and then. Doesn't it? It's game over, right? Yeah. Don't phone me again, please. Don't send me any more emails. Just fuck off, mate, you know. But not Charles. Who knew? The Telegraph says that this guy played on his friendship with Prince Charles. I'm sure he did. Anyway. Dirty shower of bastards. What you're going to see in the next 2 or 3 years is the introduction of more and more and more and more vaccines. Not vaccines to prevent you from contracting a virus or an illness of some description. And again, for people who tune into this, who ordinarily get their information from mainstream media sources, I've never been anti-vax. I'm very concerned. I'm gravely concerned about the impact that some vaccines seem to be having on people. I think vaccines have been useful in some instances in the past. That's what I think. But I don't like modern day vaccines, the ingredients. And Christopher Exley has gotten back to me, that professor at Keele University, who's done these studies on aluminium. And he's going to be coming on the programme very, very soon. I've got a big problem with vaccines today. And vaccines being given to people for things that they are, you know, very unlikely to contract. You know how I feel about it. And I do give a platform to people who would be robustly anti-vaccine. Of course I do. Because we are the vanguard. We are a bastion of free speech. Let people say what it is they want to say. because they can't do it anywhere else. But you know how I feel about vaccines. But you're going to see more and more vaccines rolled out for things that would be kind of head-scratching. By the way, hey, hi to Paddy Dunn. Good morning, Paddy. Richie, give us a tough shit, Paddy, and I'll be gone. Tough shit, Paddy. Thanks for the support, mate. I appreciate that. Paddy's off to Carrick on Shore at the end of the month. Keep on keeping on. Lovely place, Carrick on Shore. Of course, Tibbert Oran. Yes, Tibbert Oran. Gnairi on Boherlat, Paddy. Padraig, I should say. Right, so Charles and the paedophilia. Right, vaccines. Here you are. Is your cholesterol a bit high? New cholesterol vaccine could save thousands of lives a year. This is in the Times. I'm not even going to dwell on that. Shocking. Statins. The people promoting the vaccine for cholesterol have been caught with their trousers down lying about statins and the efficacy of statins in dealing with high cholesterol. In other words, it doesn't work. Fair play to the Daily Mail. Fair play to the Guardian in the last 3 years. They have fucking destroyed the myth around statins. A fucking useless drug, which might do more harm than good, which doesn't help with cholesterol. And by the way, cholesterol is not a bad thing. Right? Very, 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 very elevated cholesterol is a bad thing. But above normal cholesterol is no bad thing. You're not a doctor. How can you fucking say that? I've had medical doctors, not quacks, not alternative medicine practitioners, but real practicing MDs who have decimated the statins bullshit and the whole bullshit around cholesterol in general. So statins. Lies. Lies told. Billions of pounds made by Big Pharma. Now they've got a vaccine that could help you with your cholesterol. And this is just the beginning. It'll be everything. It'll be everything. Eventually there'll be a vaccine that will help you with joint degradation. They'll find a vaccine that will help you with your ligaments and your joints. They'll have a vaccine for everything. It won't work, of course. But doesn't fucking matter. It'll be rolled out. The NHS will buy it because the World Health Organization will tell the NHS to buy it. And the lackeys in the governments of the UK will buy it and will give it to people in NHS surgeries. Big Pharma, ching ching. And the unwitting patient, well, who knows what damage is being done to their bodies, really. Yeah, crazy fucking times, folks. Crazy times. That was the ocean warming story I mentioned earlier on. There's no time really for me to get into it today. Just leave it there, will I? Warning oceans warn of looming climate disaster. They've only been measuring the ocean temperature for 60 years. And if they'd been measuring it for the last 2,500 years, I know for a fact that it would have been warmer than it is now at periods. At certain periods in the last millennia, it would have been warmer. How do you know that? Because they grew fucking grapes in Yorkshire. Right? In Yorkshire. Vines growing. Seriously. It was so fucking warm here at times over the last 1,000, 2,000 years. It shocked people. Winters seemingly incredibly mild. We know this, of course, ice cores. We know this through geological studies. More fucking lies, right? You want more lies again? No, I'm not going to give any more climate change nonsense today. The Oscars will be on our TV screens one Sunday night in the next few weeks. I have no idea what date. And they announced the nominees, didn't they? For this year's Academy Awards. I'm not sure if it's the 83rd or 89th or 90th. I have no idea which one it is. I used to like watching the Oscars when I was younger. when it was hosted by edgy stand-up comedians. I quite enjoyed David Letterman presenting the Oscars, even though he was widely deemed to have failed miserably. But I always liked Letterman's edgy delivery. I thought he was funny. So the Oscar nominations came out, and well, they're just not fucking diverse enough. Congratulations to those men, says Issa Rae. I don't know who Issa Rae is. Now, Issa Rae is a black woman who's got something to do with the movie business. So this could be my gammon moment of today, my BBG moment. This is me outing myself as a racist misogynist. You watch films and you don't know who Issa Rae is? I haven't a fucking clue. I watched the first episode of the adaptation of Stephen King's The Outsider, which is a brilliant book, by the way. And HBO has made it, and there are some famous actors in it, white guys, and I watched it last night and I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to watch episode 2, but I'm such a fucking idiot, I couldn't tell you who's in it. Because it doesn't matter to me who's in it, as long as I enjoy it. But the Oscars are not diverse enough. We're not being included! I don't know how they assess directorial talent. How do you fucking do that? I watch films. And some every now and then at a party, I'll just for the crack, I'll turn into a pretentious arsehole. You've got to do it every now and then. You might have a glass of Prosecco in your hand, your pinky finger is extended, and you just have to come the fucking arsehole. And I'll talk about directors. Yes, Michael Mann. I love Michael Mann. The cinematography is amazing. I haven't a fucking clue what I'm talking about. I like Michael Mann because his films, they look lovely on screen. They're dark. But I can't explain how he fucking does it, right? How does he do it? Does he put Lucasaid paper over the lenses? Do you remember back in the day when Lucasaid had paper around a bottle, remember? I bet you Gaydon Jewett remembers it. Hayden Hewitt. I bet you Gene Ann Crowley remembers it. I bet you John Rorty remembers it. Well, they don't sell Lucasaid in America, do they, John? So I can't tell you how these directors make their films look amazing. But I bet you there are men and women who can evaluate a film and they can pick out direction. Right? And I'm guessing those people make their nominees based on their expert knowledge of directing films. And I bet you they couldn't give a fuck if the director is black, blue, pink, white, Hispanic, if it's a wetback, a paddy, a fucking limey, a Jew, right? They couldn't care less. You could buy it from the chemist, says Hayden. You could buy Lucasaid from the chemist. That's absolutely spot on. When you were sick, you were given it. Apparently it was packed with glucose. It was good to give you a bit of energy back when you'd been sick with the flu as a kid or whatever. But we demand to be included! Why is there no black women? Well, maybe this time around, nobody put in a performance worthy of a nomination. You fucking daft bint. Nobody wants to take this on outside of the independent media. Well, I'm lying. You'll get one or two in the Telegraph and in the Daily Mail. But broadly speaking, in the press, they support this shit. Bah! Fuck off. That's how they sound, by the way. Bah! Shut up, you fucker. Go back to uni, get better at directing, and next time you direct a film, you might get a nomination. Gene Ann was directed by some of the great directors of the UK and Ireland, Gene Ann Crowley. Gene Ann Crowley is an unbelievably talented actress. A fucking genius. And Gene Ann would be able to tell you. I'm not sure if she's ever directed anything herself, Gene Ann. I'm sure she's been offered gigs over the years to direct. But she'd be able to give you an idea of the skill that is directing television or film. She'd understand it. You know, to laymen like me, you imagine Quentin Tarantino, or you imagine Coppola, or you imagine 12 Years a Slave, whatever, Steve McQueen. You imagine these directors, Guy Ritchie, going, right, this is where I want you to be in the scene. This is the emotion. Look at the script. This is how things are going to go. Action! And then they fucking film and then they say cut. But of course, that's bollocks. I don't know anything about it. Climate change. Birmingham might become the first UK city to ban private cars from its centre. Again, the great researchers of the last 25, 30 years coming on the Richie Allen radio show to a man and woman. They've predicted this. It'll be pretty impossible soon to get into the city centre unless you're using public transport. We're nearly there in Manchester, actually. We're nearly there. We can drive in and around. But there are large parts of the city centre not accessible now to drivers of motor cars like myself. This is where we're heading. You're killing the planet! So you can't drive into city centres anymore. Fuck the businesses in the city centres that suffer. Many years ago, I had a little moment of clarity back in my commercial radio days. And I'm not being modest. You know what I'm like. I'm a big fucking idiot, me. But I'm not being modest. I'm not a modest person. I'm also not a braggart. I'm not a boastful person. I'm somewhere, I think, in between. I'm pretty fucking level-headed, I think. But I did have a moment of clarity years ago when I was in my late teens driving to Dublin and approaching Dublin and missing out on a couple of towns that we would have previously driven through. And me saying to an uncle of mine, don't we normally go through Naas, or don't we normally go through some other fucking town? My uncle says, yeah, but we have the bypass now. European Union money, we have the bypass. And I was clever enough, even as a young man, to see the damage that would do to small towns and villages. I saw it. I said, fuck, these villages are fucked, aren't they? And these towns. Of course, I wouldn't have made the leap to, you know, there's an agenda to do that, to destroy towns and villages. I wouldn't have seen that as a 17, 18 year old lad. Hi to Chris, hi to Karen. Johnny's List says, does Richie ever talk about Agenda 2030? Obviously, yes, mate. Plenty of guests on the programme talking about Agenda 2020, 2030. You must be a new convert to the Richie Allen radio show and live stream. If so, you are very welcome. This is good news. Gambling firms will be prevented from allowing punters to bet using their credit cards. Good. Stories this morning on BBC Radio of families who have modest incomes, right? Guys being able to run up thousands of pounds of debt on their credit card because they are gambling junkies, and the credit card was the easy way to go and make bets, chasing losses, throwing good money after bad money, and the government is stepping in, and after April 14th you won't be able to use a credit card. That's a very, very good thing. That's the kind of thing that governments should be there to do. Interfering in our no, it's important. You got to protect. Listen, you got to do something for families. Heston Blumenthal is a chef. Did you know that? I'm sure you did. Heston is a dab hand with weird and wonderful concoctions, chemistry in the kitchen. He's got these television shows. The Future Mrs. Allen loves them. They're very interesting. Heston is getting pissed off of people letting the food that he has cooked for them go cold because, well, they're on Twitter. I love this. I'll tell you why I love it. Like you, none of us has got the money to be eating out in restaurants regularly. But once every couple of months, probably a half a dozen times a year, the missus and myself we'll go out to a restaurant in Manchester and we'll have a couple of courses and we'll have a glass of wine. It's fucking lovely. It takes a couple of hours, 3 hours. We take our time. Lovely. Lovely way to spend an afternoon. And we wouldn't dream of looking at a mobile phone while having dinner. We're there to enjoy each other's company and to talk to one another and to gaze lovingly across the table into one another's eyes. Well, maybe a few years ago. But we do notice fuckwits while sitting in company at tables, typing, texting on their phones. Restaurants, if they had any courage at all, you'd get a lot of advertising, I think, through the news coverage alone, would ban the use of mobile phones at the dinner table. Because it's a fucking shock and disgrace. But it, again, it is indicative of where we are. Do you know what mobile phones have done? And tablets and social media. They have taken away from people the ability to live in the present, in the here and now. To be in the moment. Here I am in a restaurant with Caroline. Sometimes there are other people, a couple with us. I'm in the moment. I'm living for now. Couldn't give a fuck who sent me a message. I couldn't give a fuck what might have been said by somebody on BBC 24 online. I'm in the now. Nothing else exists. There is nothing except my friends, my beautiful partner, my wine, my entree. It's my main course. Bliss. Blumenthal says I'm getting fucking sick of it. Well, ban them, Heston. From now on in, every booking that is made, get your concierge, get your head waiter, whoever takes the fucking bookings, to say, yes, of course, table for two, 7:30, Friday, four of you. New rules, by the way. We won't be allowing you to be using your mobile phone. Now, don't give me this shit about babies and babysitters. If you want to check in on the babysitter, excuse yourself to your fellow diners and fuck off to the Jacks or go outside and make your phone call. It's as simple as that. Ma on Buchel, Heston Blumenthal. Good man. Good man. Hayden says, to be honest, as a parent and having elderly parents, this is true, I always have my phone with me and I do take a look at it if it buzzes in my pocket. Never have I been tempted to tweet at dinner. I wouldn't have imagined you would, my friend. Yeah, with elderly parents and Hayden's dad's not being well and with a young lad, of course, the resolution, of course, is for people to just go outside. Yeah, we can't live in the present anymore. We can't. Graham Booth is on there. Graham Booth is in the house. If I didn't have my phone, how could I tell Hayden when I can't sleep? That reminds me of The Sopranos. And Tony Soprano texting his cousin, Tony B, Tony Blondetto, or ringing him in the middle of the night because he can't sleep. You selfish bastard. Right. Finally, for now, interest in this for those of you who follow tech issues. The United States is kicking and screaming over the UK government's plan to use the Chinese firm Huawei. And from what I can understand, and I certainly don't know as much about tech issues as my aforementioned pals, but as far as I understand, Huawei are fucking light years ahead of everybody else. And the UK doesn't have any choice but to use them. And because it's Chinese in origin, the United States are kicking off saying, huge security issue here and all of that. I don't know. I often mention, don't I, that a broken clock is right twice a day. Does the hairpiece have a point about China? Back doors into the homes and businesses in the UK? Backdoor channels through Huawei? Well, the UK government says no, it's a load of bollocks. Security is paramount. And, you know, we believe that Huawei, best firm to work with, the only firm to work with, and we don't believe there's going to be any instance where Huawei will be, you know, feeding anything back to the Chinese government. I bring it up because it is interesting, and because if you're watching UK television news today, it's a story that is being covered. Indeed. Indeedy. Well, I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to be brief. I'm not running today because I've kind of foolishly 12 days in a row. I should really run 3 days in a row and take a day off. 4 days, take a day off. But I love it that much. I've not had a break from running for 12 days solid. And the little pup has to go to the vet because she's got a urinary infection, little one. We picked her up on Saturday and we've just got to get her sorted with the urinary infection. So I'm going to very quickly run through something here. There is trigger warning commentary on Huawei, by the way. And you can go to triggerwarning.tv or find Trigger Warning on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel there. This is not about the trigger warning, guys. It might appear like it is, but it isn't. Chemtrails and geoengineering. I get this a lot from people. Because of my background, I suppose, and because of the way I present my radio programs, I do attract a lot of listeners who wouldn't maybe listen to other conspiracy research radio shows and listen to mine, I suppose, out of curiosity. And they do contact me and they say, Christ, I heard this on your program the other night. Crazy shit that, how can you buy that? Where's the evidence? So on the dumping of heavy metals into the atmosphere, which is a real thing, and it's been happening for many, many, many years, no authoritative body has ever acknowledged it. Nobody admits it, even though it's happening. I mentioned Piers Corbyn, meteorologist, been on the program several times. Piers and believes it's happening. I know it's happening. And this is why I know it's happening. So for those of you who watch this and you just can't believe. Now I'm giving Trigger Warning quite a few mentions today. I won't tomorrow maybe. And I don't other days. When they warrant a mention, they warrant a mention. Check them out. They do good stuff. The Trigger Warning is very appropriate. So, there were a number of these weather forecasts. There was one from a German weather forecast, but that one has mysteriously disappeared off YouTube. This is real. Have a look at this.
Here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, we've got a bit of an unusual situation. Now, this first portion of the radar cycle, fairly bland and typical, but then you see these bands of very distinct cloud cover moving into the region. That is not rain, that is not snow. Believe it or not, military aircraft flying through the region is dropping chaff. Small bits of aluminum, sometimes it's made of plastic or even metallicized paper products, but it's used as an anti-radar issue, and obviously they're up there practicing. Now, they won't confirm that, but I was in the Marine Corps for many years, and I'll tell you right now, that's what it is. 50 in Medford right now, 48 in Yreka, 42 in Klamath Falls.
Okay. Here's another one.
Last weather segment. This is inevitably military or something going on. The government, the Air Force, they send out what's known as chaff, and it's a way to experiment with the radar system. And when you see this kind of a pattern like this, you can rest assured there's something going on. They're actually little bitty magnetic and little bitty strips of, whether it's aluminum, you know, they change it. But what happens is the radar deflects off of all these little pieces, and they use it actually as a jamming mechanism for radar in warfare, but it can also jam our radar and make rain appear that there really is no rain out there. later on tomorrow. There could be a few showers.
Right. Here's German television. You got to read the subtitles here, so I'll fill the screen for you. You ready? German television. I can fill the screen.
Plötzlich auf einem Radarschirm auf und waren ganz lange unerklärlich. Mittlerweile deutet alles darauf hin, dass ein Militärexperiment die Wolken verursacht hat. Und jetzt hat ein neues Gebilde offenbar Kurs auf NRW genommen. Was das bedeutet und welche Rolle geheimnisvolle Düppels dabei spielen, Pavis Khosravi verrät es Ihnen.
Kampfjäger der Bundeswehr manipulieren unsere Wetterkarten. Diese Vermutung von Bonner Wetterfröschen ist jetzt bestätigt. Unheimliche Geisterwolken mit einer Länge von 350 Kilometern tauchen plötzlich auf den Radarschirmen auf. Allerdings nur auf dem Wetterradar. Einmal im Sommer 2005 und einmal im März 2006. Die Bundeswehr hat mittlerweile zugegeben, dass sie im März eine Luftkampfübung über Holland machte. Für Carsten Brandt von donnerwetter.de ist klar, das ist des Rätsels Lösung.
Wir wissen heute, dass es mit 99,9%iger Sicherheit Düppel waren. Düppel bestehen aus Plastik mit Plastikteilchen, so etwa mit Metalldampf drauf. Die dienen dazu, militärisch Radargeräte zu täuschen. Das ist deren Hauptaufgabe. Und da wurden wohl damals bei der ersten Geisterwolke mindestens hunderte Kilo, wenn nicht Tonnen, ausgesetzt, um so ein riesen künstliches Regenband zu erzeugen.
Nach den Radarbildern sind es Tonnen dieser Substanzen. Laut Bundeswehr wurden aber nur ganz geringe Mengen dieser Düppel ausgesetzt. Sie dienen der bewussten Täuschung von Radarbildern, da ihre haarfeinen Fäden Flugzeuge tarnen. Wie gefährlich sie für Menschen sind, weiß zurzeit niemand. Das Militär sagt, sie sind ungefährlich. Doch in den USA gibt es längst Proteste gegen diese Technik. Und auch hierzulande regt sich was, zum Beispiel bei den Grünen in NRW.
Hier wird offensichtlich großflächig die Umwelt verschmutzt und das auch noch mit Geheimnistuerei verbunden. Und das muss auf den Tisch. Wir werden die Landesregierung danach fragen und die soll die Bevölkerung jetzt umfassend aufklären.
Und es geht schon wieder los. Derzeit gibt es neue Luftkampfübungen über dem Hunsrück. Die Bundeswehr warnte jetzt erstmals die Wetterdienste vor verfälschten Radarbildern in den kommenden 3 Wochen.
Die Prognose von uns sagt, dass wir Südwestwind haben. Das heißt, diese Wolke wird dann über die Eifel, ins Rheinland, ins Ruhrgebiet, weiter dann hier oben bis nach Ostwestfalen, Bielefeld, Paderborn, Osnabrück, dann sogar in Niedersachsen und bei entsprechend großer Menge sogar weiter nach Niedersachsen, vielleicht sogar bis in den Hamburger Raum hineingetragen. Also es ist ein richtiger Wolkenfilm, der dann entsteht bis nach Hamburg.
Carsten Brandt hatte nach der ersten Wolke bereits Strafanzeige gegen Unbekannt wegen Wettermanipulation gestellt. Er wird sein Radar in der nächsten Zeit genau beobachten, denn jede neue Geisterwolke könnte seine Vermutung bestätigen.
You get the picture, right? The dumping of toxic heavy metals into the atmosphere in dust form. It's been going on for years. And it's not about chaff and radar. There's a million fucking reasons they do it. They're doing it. It's killing us. It's killing us. It's causing abiotic stress in soil around the world. And Monsanto, the biotech company, has developed a Terminator seed which functions perfectly well, thank you very much, in soil that is affected by abiotic stress, which means nothing will fucking grow in it. Bruce Douglas in Maui, Earthwatch, lovely man, not a conspiracy theorist, gentleman, wonderful guy. I spoke to Bruce years ago. They've been testing the soil. Hawaii gets sprayed to fuck. Massive levels of aluminium in the soil there, barium and strontium. They're spraying the fucking bejesus out of us. They're doing it morning, noon and night. I saw it with my own eyes when I lived on the Costa del Sol, 12 miles away from Gibraltar, on the Costa del Sol West. I saw them doing it. It wasn't the Bacardi. Saw them doing it. Planes flying over and back, over and back. Nothing coming out of Gibraltar, nothing military. No commercial flights leaving Gibraltar or entering Gibraltar after 10 o'clock at night, nothing. 9 o'clock in the night, 10 o'clock in the night, Costa del Sol West, Sotto Grande, should have seen the fucking planes. Photographed them. Pictures of the chemtrails, put them online back during the day when I was living in Spain. They're doing it. They're doing it for a lot of reasons. Now, Max Egan said, failing to clear the scrub in the bush for years because of cuts, deliberate cuts, has left fuel for fires to consume, these wildfires. He also said, Max, and I'm not saying he's right, by the way. I'm not here to endorse anything that's said by any of my guests. Max might be wrong. But he also said that he believes that spraying could somehow accelerate the fires. And on the face of it, that sounds absolutely fucking ridiculous, right? How could it? Well, you see, when aluminium is ground into powder form, it becomes a fire accelerant that generates enormous amounts of heat. Don't believe me? Have a look at this from Dr. Christopher S. Baird, academic. Read it for yourself. I'll leave it on the screen for you. Right? A lot of comments coming in there about this. Okay. And there's the salient point about grinding metals into powder and the effect that those metals have on fires. So it's not beyond the pale. It's not beyond the pale that if spraying is happening over the areas of the wildfires, that that spraying wouldn't accelerate said fires. That's what he was alluding to. All right. Heavy metal spraying in the atmosphere is a real thing, and it's been going on forever. And I would recommend that you watch two films. One, What in the World Are They Spraying? Made by Michael Murphy, who these days is under the weather. He's not had a very good time of it for the last few years, Michael Murphy. I think he's been a bit ill. He's had some problems. The documentary is an amazing watch. You know, partly because of the level of people interviewed in the film, you know, former US politicians, microbiologists, soil experts. It's a great film. And then Frank and Skies by Matt Landman, another brilliant film. They're doing it. And they're doing it every fucking day of the week. And it's happening in plain sight. And all the evidence is there. Those videos of the meteorologists. The things that Piers Corbyn said to me on this show, a man who reads satellite charts as easy as we read the newspapers. It's happening. And that's about it, really. That's it for today. I'll be back with you at 5 p.m. UK time. Until then, you take care of yourselves and one another. Two terrific guests today. Gilad on the Board of Deputies of British Jews. That will trigger some. And Mark Steele on 5G, the Gateshead man who broke a story on the Richie Allen radio show a couple of years ago about the testing of 5G technology in Gateshead. Of course, it was a big court case that followed on from that. Want to talk to Mark today because there's a lot of 5G stories in the newspapers here in the UK today. It's very important, of course, 5G. Triggerwarning.tv for an alternative take on the news. Until 5 o'clock, have a good Tuesday. Bye from me. Bye now.